Welcome to the Everything ECU podcast. I am your host, Carla Ward, and joining me today is Janie Herbert, the CEO and co-founder of BridgeCare, a women-led, white-labeled childcare data and community management platform centered on empathy-led technology that supports equitable, effective, early childhood care and education systems to support parents and providers. Since 2016, Jamie and her BridgeCare team have served more than 50,000 early child care providers and 500,000 families across 500 countries by first falling in love with the problem of the child care system. They are known for their visionary-driven values. They were recently named the winner of EdTech Breakthrough's Early Childhood Education Innovation of the Year Award. You can learn more about Jamie and what her team does in the link below, but without further ado, Jamie is going to be talking to us about where there is a place for tech in early childhood, and I'm so excited for you to learn more. Welcome to the show, Jamie. I'm so excited to have you on today to talk about one of my favorite topics is putting systems in place.
Hi, Carla. Great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's first dive in with an intro. Tell us a little about yourself and about the company that you work for, BridgeCare.
Sure. I'm Jamie Herbert. I'm the CEO and co-founder of BridgeCare. BridgeCare has been around since 2016, always in the market of serving families, providers, and administrators in the early care and education ecosystem. BridgeCare is a modern technology platform. It's used by government agencies and local organizations that work to build a better and stronger early care and education ecosystem that works for everyone.
Amazing. So I am a total tech geek. I love technology. So what does it mean when you say modern technology?
One thing about modern technology is that it's a software as a service. Inside baseball is SaaS, is the term. But a lot of people don't know what that means. So software as a service. And what it means is we have built a technology product. You know, you use them all the time, right? In apps and things like that. And it means that we sell that product to governments. It's really easy to implement and kind of ready to go out of the box. And then they can just make those adjustments as needed. But we don't have to build it from scratch with them every time.
Okay. All right. So I own Early Learning Foundations. Obviously, I'm not a government organization, but let's say I bring BridgeCare onto, let's say I have a childcare program.
Yeah.
What would that look like for me as an administrator?
Yeah. And so this is a really important distinction because a lot of people, when they think about a software company that supports preschools or childcare programs, they think it's maybe like a educational tool for parents, or it's a software used by childcare providers. We are different. And one of the very few that do this, which is provide the technology for the whole system. We call it infrastructure, software infrastructure. So if your community, your province or state has universal preschool or a publicly funded pre-K program, for example, we provide the software that that state or province uses to administer that. So where a family might apply, manage placement, providers will enroll the students, and then providers can get paid for those children in enrollment or attendance. All that part of it. So kind of the invisible behind the scenes part of a working, ideally working early care and education system. Many places it's not working so well. And that's why we're a very mission-driven organization, because we're on a mission to make those systems work better for families and providers.
I love that. I was talking to somebody last week, and because so many people are either operating privately as individuals, or in Canada, we've now got the $10 a day childcare, which to say it's a hot mess is an understatement. I am not an administrator in childcare anymore, but speaking to fellow administrators, like they have a system, but it's not working. It is, the list is so long and there's fine print for all of it. And there's, you know, if you don't click the right button as a parent, it's a mess. And somebody I was talking to that owns a private childcare, they have 230 families on their wait list. Like, as an administrator, that is impossible to manage.
I'm pretty familiar with the Canada progress that is occurring. And I know in a lot of places, it feels like a very painful transition. Here in the United States, you know, we would love that kind of policy change. So Everywhere's got their issues, right? But it isn't just about policy. It is very much about how it is implemented, down to the nitty gritty fine details of how, down to the funding, but also down to the technology which supports those systems. And I think it's from our position at BridgeCare, we really feel that the technology and the how of implementation are often very undervalued by policymakers and often underfunded, and therefore makes it really challenging for families and providers to engage with that system. And in a lot of Canada, there are still what's called legacy systems in place, which weren't built for this new policy. And so they're kind of breaking as they're trying to, like literally and figuratively breaking as they're trying to transition to this new world of process and funding and ways of operating. So that's also a huge component of a modern system, is the flexibility to adapt and configure, as we call it, as changes are made, because changes, we hope to continue to make progress, right? In Canada, it's rolled out over years. So you can't have one system that's implemented that can only support the now. It has to be able to evolve as those changes roll out over time. One other huge component is human-centered design. So not every modern solution, but certainly the good ones in BridgeCare are built from a human-centered design perspective. Most government systems are built from the perspective of the government administrators, but we center families and providers in the design to make sure that it works for them, because ultimately that's what these systems are all for.
1000%. And I think you've nailed it there, because no disrespect to any of my fellow ECEs, but the more techie I become, the more I notice how behind we as an industry, as a profession, are in tech when it comes to technology. We are only just getting into documentation in the last decade using technology. I worked at a center 4 years ago that was still taking checks for parents in enrollment, and I was still getting paid by check. And I was like, there's this thing called direct deposit where you can just put my money into my bank account every week. And it was a real mental adjustment for our administrators to do that. And so we have to look at childcare as, okay, yes, the government might know how to use technology on this next level, but you've got to look at where we're at as educators, because we're not on technology all day, every day. We're in the classroom with our little ones.
Yeah, I think it's an acknowledgement that a lot of ECE providers are not confident about technology also. So they get really intimidated too by new systems, even if they actually can do it, right? Because usually they can, but there's a lack of confidence because it's just not something that's in their day-to-day experience often. And so we need to build systems that are really easy for them to use, and that they see a lot of value in making the time to learn. But the other part is just a recognition that they're also very busy, and there just isn't a lot of time. No matter how easy a system is, if you have too many things that you're requiring them to do, it's just too much burden on an already really burdened job and function. So that has to be also at the front and center of policymakers and system implementers at the government level, because there has to be a realistic expectation of what providers can do.
100%. And I think just by your company acknowledging that, you are already ahead of most systems, because it's not going to get implemented if it's not easy. And not because we're not smart enough to do it. That's never been the question. It's we are literally so short on childcare staff. Supervisors are spending half their time in the classroom. Yeah. So they don't have time to click 1,000 different buttons to get one result.
Yeah. And so many things about, you know, that 230 child wait list that you said or whatever it was, don't have to do with technology, right? Technology is not the only component of the system needing to work well. Of course, there's pay, benefits. Often childcare providers aren't centered in thinking about progress in childcare. Families are, and you can understand why that might be, but childcare providers are a critical component to a functioning system and high quality. And so, yeah, a lot of things need to be improved policy and funding wise, you know, across the world, really, to value that labor.
Amen to that. So, because we're on a podcast, are you able to kind of give us like a visual walkthrough of what it would look like from an administrator point of view on the screen and a family point of view? Like, what would an administrator do on the screen and what would a family do on the screen with BridgeCare?
Yeah, we have several different what we call modules. So our clients use different aspects of our software. Some are managing licensing for childcare providers and making it easier for providers to become a childcare provider and navigate regulation and compliance and all that. There's really no family component to that part, right? And then other parts are families applying for funding or applying for a placement at a matching process in a pre-K. And every place that we work is totally different in how they manage these things because never at the country level in where we work. So there's no one size fits all. But in the case of a public pre-K program, let's say, a family can apply, say it's a whole state run program. So a family can apply, they'll come to their family portal, they'll apply for the child, they'll pick their preferences of locations, if that's how it works there, they'll rank them. And we have a matching algorithm that based on the provider criteria and the family's preferences and other equity factors, sometimes like continuity of care and income levels and other qualifying factors, the matching algorithm will run placements, families will receive their match, they can accept or decline their match, and then enroll with the provider in a universal program, you know, have no costs and be guaranteed a seat. And then on the provider side, they will, you know, say how many slots they have, they will register with the program, they will receive those matches, they will receive documentation of children and enroll them. And then the administrator kind of has this overview of all of this occurring. They'll manage the matching process. They'll, of course, determine how they want the whole system to work and what factors go into the placements, and they can run all their reports and everything and payments through it.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing. It's been a while since I've been a supervisor, but my goodness, that would have come in handy. And can the family register through the system, or is that still dependent on the specific childcare program?
So it really just depends on the area and what they want. So even that whole matching scenario that I went through, some places don't do that at all. Some just do direct provider. And then the provider says, hey, this child enrolled here. Okay. So it really depends on how the system, like the policy of the systems are administered at each location. But yeah, it could be possible.
But and also though, I like the flexibility because if you're a center, so I worked with somebody last week for consulting. They have 50 centers under their umbrella. So they need a big system in place to be able to do that. Because with 50 locations, you have to have, like, you cannot have a flaw in the system. But if you're a center with only 5 educators and you've only got 5 classrooms, you don't need that massive system because you only have, let's say, 70 spots max in your entire program.
Yes, exactly. So that's how we've kind of, we know that, you know, some really large childcare providers have their own software, like they build their own software managing their process, right? And then there are many childcare management software providers out there, and all of them have different strengths and weaknesses, and providers have different preferences. So we never envision a world where we replace that entirely, but many providers are still using paper. So,
no kidding. Oh, yes, I know.
And so for many of them, probably they could benefit from using some more technology. But, you know, our objective is to meet providers where they're at and make this as simple as possible. So we have in our software kind of the what we call like childcare management software light, where if a childcare provider isn't using any of those things, then they can use the system provided software to just do what's required by compliance, by funding to get those funds and maintain compliance.
Yeah,
and then
absolutely.
The others, we can integrate if they're, you know, in the United States, there's this kind of big, feels like pretty big movement toward states paying for childcare management software licenses on behalf of childcare providers to encourage technology adoption and efficiency in program management. And so if there are like preferred childcare management softwares, we could integrate with those to help also ease the burden of administration and data transfers.
I love it. I also love the licensing component because licensing is supposed to be an ongoing thing. But I know for me, I think I became supervisor in March and our licensing was end of April. And I was not walking into like a nice organized binder system, to say the least. And it was a mess. So having a system where, you know, it can help with licensing would be huge. But also, correct me if I'm wrong, BridgeCare also does professional development.
Yeah, we have a learning management software where, you know, clients, states, or local organizations can load their curriculum and courses and then can take courses. Places are different, but Most often there's a some kind of quality improvement system effort where there might be badges or tiers or rating system, right, associated with taking courses and getting credentials. And so our system can support those very different manifestations of quality improvement systems.
I love it because honestly, if I was asked to present my professional development certificates right now, some of them are on my laptop at home, some of them are on my laptop or my computer at the office, some of them are printed out in a binder in their sleeves. Like it would be an absolute mess for if I was to have to gather my professional development stuff, which is totally not what I should be saying on a podcast because I could be audited at any time, but it's true.
Yeah. There's a big wave of pushing toward professional workforce registries. The Workforce Registry Alliance has a lot of guidelines on like how you can successfully set something like that up and standards. And then along with those professional profiles for educators. And so that's where you could basically organize yourself, even just as an educator or a childcare provider, you know, director could require it of their staff to load their stuff in. So it's just really easy to access in an audit or for their quality improvement records.
Yeah, absolutely. Years ago, when I was supervisor, we did a, I don't want to say a competition because I don't like pegging people that you work with against each other, but we did a reward system. So the person who received the most professional development hours that year got sent to Chicago for a professional development workshop. And we actually got enough funding that we were able to send four of our team members from Toronto to Chicago. And it was amazing. But we had to make sure that everybody's professional development certificates were kept in a filing cabinet. You know, it was printed off. It was put where it needed to go. And as a supervisor, to be able to just log on and see it would just be so easy to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also be able to recommend certain courses for them as well. Yeah. If you're supporting kind of their, some places have career pathways. And so kind of supporting your workforce so that well, either the system can help navigate, but also the director can support in navigating how to kind of move along in career pathway.
Freaking love this. You should see my notepad right now. It is just like scribbled with like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. This is amazing. Like just again, like I mentioned, I love technology and I love how when technology is used properly, it really can lighten the load. And anything we can do to lighten the load of an administrator, of a childcare provider, anything, just bring it on.
Exactly. That's our whole theory and what reason for being is we've got this very fragmented kind of all over the place system that's requiring a lot of work and time from families, providers, and administrators themselves. And technology can streamline those processes and make it feel like a much more coherent, seamless system.
I love it. I have to ask, as the co-founder, like how did you land up coming to this conclusion?
Over many years and lots of twists and turns, honestly. I really came to the ECE space from a lens of gender equity in the workplace. Being a woman at working and kind of seeing the writing on the wall of what may be very likely to happen to my own career, having children, getting married, and having a family when there just isn't sufficient access to high quality, affordable care. And that's where I started. And then over years of really getting to understand the ecosystem, working with providers, working with families, and then eventually working with administrators to understand the barriers, like, wait, why isn't there better technology for this? There is no way to solve these problems without just a better system. Just no number of private solutions without more funding and a better functioning system for everyone is just never going to get us anywhere. So that's where we ended up landing here. And I've, you know, really come to, at BridgeCare, we always say, in startups and in probably in life, if you're solving problems, don't fall in love with the solution, fall in love with solving the problem. And so over the course of what we've done since 2016, it's really been a like falling in love with solving this problem and finding where our unique place to really add value, because there's so many people working on solving these problems and so much history, but where can we as a technology vendor provide real valuable help in that? That's what's led us to where we are today.
That's incredible. I absolutely love that. And as somebody who has lived and breathed, and I swear if you sliced me, I'd bleed early childhood education. I'm so grateful for people who are in love with finding that solution because Lord knows we need it.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of technology vendors, I think, have a kind of toxic trait of coming in and thinking that they know best. And like, I mean, I've seen it time and time again. Childcare is broken. What's wrong with these people? Why aren't they smarter? Why haven't they solved this, right? Like, I can solve this, no problem. And it is complex. And our whole approach, I mean, our systems are never branded BridgeCare. We are a white labeled software, which means that it's always our clients and our partners. It's their system and they are implementing it. And that's why it appears so different everywhere we work, because they know what's best for their community. And we provide some expertise of seeing across many different places what has worked. But every place is different. Toronto is different than Chicago, is different than San Francisco, is different than the whole state of Texas, right? And so every place has its culture, it has its requirements, and community-led efforts are just generally much more successful in adoption as well. So we take a like very humble, we're here to support you. How can we make your system more efficient? How can we use technology to just make what you're doing better and faster and stronger in the improvement work you're already doing? So, major credit to all the folks on the ground who have advocated for decades and decades, and policymakers who work day in and day out. We call ourselves the pipes. We're just here to support.
I love it. And goodness knows we need it. So that is amazing. And you're absolutely right. When you take that approach, there's going to be so much more success putting those systems in place, because I always laugh because I can't think of any other job other than early childhood education where an ECE can't step off the floor unless someone's covering their room so that they can go to the bathroom. If somebody is sick, a center could be shut down because they don't have enough staff to cover a center. Like, the trickle effect of the wheels not turning properly is so much more, I don't want to say disastrous, but so much more of a effect to a family. Because if I call you and say, I'm so sorry, the toddler room's closed today because we don't have enough staff. Well, it's not just the toddlers that are affected. Now the parent is affected and the parent has to find care. Now that parent's work is affected and that parent's job place is affected. The trickle effect is huge. And the sooner systems get put in place and the sooner people understand how we are like the center cog, the better we're going to be.
100%. Couldn't have said it better.
That's my little rant for the day. Well, Jamie, thank you so much. I am so excited to learn more about BridgeCare and watch the development as it gets into more places. I hope to see it across Canada. I think it's an awesome system. And thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.